You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Interfaith marriages can sometimes face scrutiny or disapproval from family members and communities who hold strong religious convictions. Navigating these reactions requires sensitivity and strategy. This discussion will focus on how couples can address and manage the reactions of family members and community members while maintaining their own relationship and beliefs. And when once again, we are joined by my elder, Elder Katundu, who's going to be helping us with this one. My elder, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Thank you.
I am good. Thank you so much, my elder. Thank you for coming through to speak to us once again. I'm going to ask that before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the time you have given us that we can share your word. In these insights that we are going to bring, we want to ask that you may enable us to speak what is truth and what is going to help families out there that are in these things we are talking about. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to continue helping us and to also help those who are facing similar problems that we are going to talk about. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming through. We've been speaking about all things interfaith marriages here, and I'm happy that today we are going to be speaking about all things facing the music, right? So what are some common reactions, my elder? I know you might not, you know, have experienced this, but from those that you have heard, you know, some common reactions there from family and community members involved in interfaith marriages.
Okay. There are many, but allow me to talk about four. Mm-hmm. The first one is disapproval. Second one is pressure to convert. The third one is withdrawal of support, and the fourth one is community scrutiny.
Okay.
So on the part of disapproval, you realize to say family members may express concern about the potential differences that these people are likely to have or that they are bound to have. And from the same, they may not be in support. So you may find both families are not in support of the same, or perhaps one family could be in support and the other one could be a bit more liberal. But the fact is that there will be some concerns of disapproval because they know to say there will be differences that would come from the same. So on the other one, there could be an issue of pressure to convert.
Okay.
So there are some religions that would want you to just be part of their religion because they believe themselves to be right. You can't convert to what the religion of the other party is. So now that would mean someone has to, from there, has to just there and then renounce their belief system and join this and establish another one which they are not well groomed in. So there could be that pressure so that that marriage is sustained. So in some cases where, let's say, one party is more emotionally involved, others may use that as a tool against them to say, if you're not ready to join my church, this thing will not continue. So others end up succumbing to the pressure, but there's that pressure that comes with the same. So the other challenge that I mentioned is the issue of withdrawing of support. Some families will say, okay, with this thing that you're about to do, we are not going to support you with it, so we are going to withdraw our support, either it be emotional or financial, because we are not of the idea of you going ahead with this. So that already makes it a bit challenging for somebody to proceed with this decision of being involved in an interfaith marriage. Then the last one is community scrutiny. When people know that you are from different faith backgrounds and you are about to embark on such a decision, there could be a lot of gossip that would come about, and a lot of people will say things, some of which you will hear, some of which you will just leave you in suspense. So from the same, it just becomes a toxic environment or a toxic situation because of a lot that is going on around. Yes.
So how can couples, Mfundisi, my elder, prepare for such, you know, reactions, and how can they address now resistance from their loved ones?
Okay, so for me, I'll tell you my position. To those who are not yet married, they must know that it was never in support. God never was never of the idea of you getting somebody who is of a different faith. So there are some problems that come as a result of there are some problems that come as a result of circumstances.
Okay.
And there are some problems that we are able to see that we are leading ourselves in those problems. So I don't know which side God would take in this situation. But if somebody knows that this is something that God was never in support of in the first place, I think they may end up leading themselves for disaster. But to answer your question, the first thing, there are four things that somebody needs to take. The first one is just open communication. People must talk. Everything that must be said, let it be said.
Yeah.
People shouldn't harbor issues that will just pop up in marriages, which will be a hindrance at the end. So everything that needs to talk about concerning this needs to be talked about before marriage, so that everyone is well invested and well prepared for that which they are about to get themselves into. Then the other part would be to educate and reassure each other. So couples and families involved must educate each other about these religious faiths or their faiths, their backgrounds, so that they know how best they can integrate themselves into the picture as to be able to be reliable or to be relevant at the end of the day. But believe you me, even though I've never experienced it, I want to believe that it's a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
For some it may be, for some it may not be, depending on what groups that are about to be involved in this. Then the other one would be to seek support from the allies or the people that could be that you are relying on. Sometimes in the family you may realize to say there are people that have been in support. So you can seek for support from those people, either through counseling or whatever it could be that they can help you, so that at the end of the day, the tension, the challenges that would have caused more chaos are brought to a sudden stop, or in a way they are resolved in a way that would be more rewarding than causing problems.
So my elder, you know, because sometimes you have prepared yourself, right? What strategies can now these couples use to foster understanding and acceptance from family and friends? Here you are, you are married, you come with your wife, Mdalawam. Your wife says, me, I'm Adventist. I observe the Sabbath.
Okay.
The church, their Sunday church goers, right? How then now, what is the strategy now for them to foster that understanding and have that understanding that, yes, our daughter-in-law is going to church on Sabbath, not on Sunday, you know? Or is it the other way around? You go to church on Sunday instead of Sabbath. How what strategies can they use there?
Okay, so this thing is based on communication. So the first part is there has to be an element of respectful dialogue. Whatever you're going to say, you must be able to respect the views of your friend or your partner, and you come to a certain and to a common understanding. So if you don't talk and if you don't come to a common understanding, then you're bound to have a lot of problems. So just on the same one, I want to give an example of a certain situation I got to know about. There's a certain couple that was married. Now, the interesting thing is they were both Adventists. The woman was faith. The woman, from the time I got to know to learn about her, she's been faithful. But the husband wasn't as committed as the woman, as the wife.
Okay.
So the wife would keep some money for tithe in the envelope, because she believes she has to do that.
Okay.
She has to tithe. Then the husband would get that money and use it for fuel. So already there are those challenges. You find you need to have a respectful dialogue where you are shared, where you talk things out. This is what you are going to value. Then we also need to highlight on the values that you are going to share, to emphasize them, so that if we are all going to talk about tithing, it's something that we are all going to do. If we talk about tithing, if we talk about praying, if we talk about fasting, I must know and everybody must know to say, okay, this is a value that we are all going to share and we must all respect that. Then the other thing would be involving religious leaders.
Yeah.
Now, the other part of involving religious leaders would be a bit more tricky in the sense that it depends again on the part on the couples that are involved in this. There's some religious leaders who believe in, let's say, traditional doctors and the like.
Yes.
Some religions would be in support of that, but here is an Adventist and they don't believe in that. So it would be a bit chaotic, but as I indicated earlier, it depends again on the couples that are involved, because there are certain things that you would condone and certain things that you wouldn't. So the couples that are involved there would be able to set what they would accept among themselves and find a way so that they're able to get some advice and guidance from those people from a religious background. But it's tricky, as it can be said. What may apply for this group may not apply for that group and may not apply for that group. So people must talk out things, highlight on the values they share, and also respect their views that are being talked about. Yes.
So, Mpundisi, looking at the issues, you know, you spoke in most that everything actually revolves around, you know, the issues of communication. What of patience and empathy? What role do they play in terms of dealing with external pressures? Because the pressures are going to come from family, from the society and everything else. What role do they play?
That one is very tricky, but... It's very tricky in the sense that you can be the one who is empathetic or you can exercise all the empathy and all the sympathy and everything that is required, but the other party may not do the same. So we end up being the only one who is on the sacrificing end. You are being more understanding, but it's not, the other party is not as understanding as you are. So one group may end up suffering. But in order to do this, there has to be an element of establishing clear boundaries. So if you establish clear boundaries, the family must know to say, okay, here you can interfere. Up to this point, you are not supposed to interfere. It is based on, it is just us to deal with this issue. Yes, then at the other thing that you could do is balanced involvement. You must ensure that the involvement of people and the involvement of other people, your family, is balanced. It's not all the time your family has to say something, but you yourselves who are married must find a way to ensure that everything you are doing is in a balanced manner and not overdoing it. Because again, if you have the parents and family members to have all their views said, in the end, the life of your marriage is going to be dependent on their views and not what you are creating at the end of the day. Yes. Then the other part is the element of being selective with what to share. So it's not everything that the family needs to know, but you must be selective, because certain problems that you may face as a family from this same situation, certain things that you may face from this situation may bring a bit more problems, especially if they are shared. So as you are being more empathetic and as you are exercising patience, must be selective with what to share, so that at the end of the day, you are able to have a healthy family.
So Mpundisi, my elder, as you see, elder, you know, you must become Mpundisi now, because I've been calling you Mpundisi throughout. So my elder,
I'm actually, I'm actually, I'm just waiting for deployment. I did theology.
Oh, really? Okay, so we're going to stick to Mfundisi. So Mfundisi. How can couples now, my pastor, how can they find and build supportive community that respects their interfaith relationship?
Okay. The first part that I'll talk about is you need to create new traditions. Mm. One to believe to say people are raised differently and they have this religious orientation from different backgrounds, as it were, right? Mm. This one is from another Adventist, this one is Sunday going. These people have a different orientation altogether. So as they are coming to this marriage situation, they are forming something new. They are forming something new which wasn't there. So that means they will need to create new traditions on how they will do their thing, what will be acceptable in that household. Of course, everything must be backed up by biblical principles, but they are the ones to create the new traditions and how things are supposed to be like. Then the other thing is they need to seek counseling, because this is a new thing that they are working on. This is a new thing. Of course, the counseling may come from people that are professionals that would help to ensure that this interfaith marriage is able to thrive and is able to yield good results at the end of the day. But I would clearly state again, it was never God's intention. Even though it was never God's intention, as people are dealing with this, they must be more careful, because it's very tricky. Hmm. One party may end up suffering at the expense of the other in most instances. Hmm. One party may end up being more empathetic and being patient, and the other party may not. The views of one party may be more welcomed, and the views of the other party may be suppressed. So it's tricky, but if there's open communication, getting people that you may consider to assist, bringing them on board that you see to be those you may depend on, especially with valuable information and insights, and also ensuring that you seek counseling as you navigate through this, I think that can really help as you are creating this supportive community.
Indeed. So now I'm going to ask you for your last words, and then after that I'm going to ask you that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay. When you ask for the last words, would you mind specify what you need me to talk about, or just in general?
Yes, in general. So for the wrapping up today's conversation.
Okay. The bottom line of everything is just people being honest with themselves and communicating things more effectively, so that everything that needs to be talked about is talked about. Every stone that needs to be turned is turned. Mm. Everything that needs to be put in place is put in place, so that when people are involved in this marriage, they shouldn't be surprised with the outcome. But it should be something that we are well prepared for, to experience, because they talked about those things. Then again, I would urge those that are fond of turning against others, even after certain agreements were made. Mm. So it shouldn't be one man's show, because it's a partnership. Everyone's views must be heard. So I wouldn't be in support of people who say, no, I'll allow you to go to your church, you do this. Then when they're married, they start suppressing the views of the other party. That one I wouldn't be in support. So whatever you agreed before, I think should go on. Then for those that don't talk about these things at all, and yet when they face them in marriage, it becomes a problem, or advice, they find a way to communicate everything necessary so that they don't get to have problems that we are talking about.
Mm. Indeed.
Yes,
indeed.
At the end of it all, God is in control, but is not in support of this, because of the dynamics that can bring, because of the dynamics associated and the problems that it can cause to his children.
Mm. Indeed. Yeah, ne? Please offer a word of prayer, my elder. Let's pray for these marriages.
We are praying. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the institution of marriage. Your word is clear about what we are supposed to do. Enable our friends that have made mistakes to be able to find a way to survive even in the situations they are in. Dear Lord, we want to pray for you to enable for peace to be in those houses. We want to pray for common values to be shared, common understanding to be established, and also an understanding of people being able to worship you and being able to accept you regardless of the differences that they may have in everything that which they will do and everything that involves them. Our desire is that may each point to you, the ultimate creator who has given us life and who has given us the institution of marriage. The dynamics that they could be associated with these institutions that we are talking about, we want to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide so that at the end of the day, we are not swept away from your path and your presence. Continue ministering to your children. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much for coming through. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Have a blessed day too. Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.